Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
You know, I want to begin by something before I forget it. It's a revelation that God gave me just moments ago concerning tithes and offerings. And to me, I was just blown away. As we were about to receive tithes and offerings, the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me and telling me that, you know, tithing represents the cross, that Jesus gave his first, that's the power right there, and represents the first. And Malachi says, shall a man rob God? And the thought that came to me is, if I rob God, then the enemy can rob me. But there was something even greater that the Holy Spirit told me. He said, do you realize that when you give your 10% and you keep the rest, once you give that 10%, that I redeem the rest of your money? He said, do you realize when you give the 10%, I redeem the rest and the enemy can't take it? Because here's why. He can take it if I'm disobedient, the enemy, but he can't take it out of God's hands, because all the rest of my finances are redeemed. And I, in the past, when I wasn't, you know, faithful and wasn't there yet and didn't have a revelation, something that was in my life was, you know, kind of the hit or miss thing, do what you want, when you want, if you want, you know, kind of thing. And absolutely every time I would notice that things in the household, car would break down, things would happen. That's because I was using money that wasn't mine. I was using God's money and it was not redeemed. So I wanted to say that while it was fresh in my mind, that the Holy Spirit said, tell it to the church. Tell it to the church that if they do what's right, their money's redeemed, it's going to go a lot farther. So God is so good.
Anytime anyone says to me, I'm really hearing God speak, or I've got a word from God, I pay attention to that. I was walking by the church last week, and as I was walking by Pastor Pam, I heard her say, God just gave me an amazing revelation, and I just stopped. When I hear something like that, so one of the things that Pam had shared with me last week, which it made a difference in my life, and you can share this if you want to, but she was telling me about, and she told the whole church about how she, when she prayed, she's just very honest with God. God, these are the things that I need in my life. Let's just be honest. The Bible says, come and let us reason together. I like that. The Bible says, come and let us, it means go to God and talk about it, reason together. And she said that she had was praying about different problems and just different situations, and like anybody asking why isn't this resolved, why isn't that resolved. And she told me, she said that God revealed to her, you have no idea of all the things I've done behind the scenes. Do you want to share that? Or
I was sitting in my backyard last week, and after something very devastating had happened in my life, and I was laying on the couch, and there were three chairs by me, and I felt like that God was speaking to me, just almost audibly saying, we're all here for you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I was communicating with God, he said, talk to me and tell me everything. And I said, nope, you don't want to hear it. You're just not going to want to hear it because I'm not happy. This has broken me. This has crushed me. Just so much stuff. And I felt like anybody else, he said, go ahead, tell me. I won't be mad. And I said, I want to know where you were. I want to know where you are, and I want to know where you were right now. And here's what he said to me, what I told my brother. He said, you have no idea, he said, so I'm going to tell you where I was. He said, all those things that have crushed you, the rejection, the pain, the betrayals over and over, he said, it was much worse than you could have imagined, but I was continually pushing everything away. He said, I pushed away more than ever got through. Can you relate to that? That sometimes we think that you won't say it out loud, and I've never been one to talk to God like that, by the way. You know, I've always taught by my dad that God is a holy God and you better watch what you say to him. But God gave me just this one opportunity. He said, just tell me how you feel. And I said, I'm hurt. and maybe I'm hurt at you, God, and I'm sorry, and I don't mean no disrespect, but I started asking, and he started telling me, you have no idea what I've pushed away from you. The enemy has meant to destroy you, Pam, so many times. He's meant to close the church that you pastor. He's meant to divide your marriage, your home, your kids, but it's so much worse than you think. But I, your God, love you, and I have intervened, and I'm making it all right. And it was just such a revelation to me. And God has been speaking, and I love that about him.
I had an experience several years ago in airplanes. And, you know, the song Never Alone that we just sang, so such a good job on that. I enjoyed that. Amen. I enjoyed all the songs. That was fun, Frida. It was fun to play along with the choir. This is jazz choir. I'm adding some jazz in there. I told Tony, when you play jazz, there are no wrong notes, you know. But the song says, I waited for you, but you didn't show. It sounds like Job. But the truth is, the Bible tells us that whenever we call, he listens. Amen. So I was at Gary, Indiana at the airport. And when you're in an airplane, you're never alone. Even when you're alone, you'd be flying and then flying for 5 minutes and not hear anything. And all of a sudden, a voice will come on your head and they'll address you. And they'll call you by your number. Your airplane number, but it'll say turn left to heading 090, climb to 3,000 feet. There's someone there. So I was at Gary, I was getting ready to take off, and I wasn't sure the radio was working because I tuned in to the tower, and all I heard was static. And I said to myself, oh, this is great. I'm here, I'm all alone, and I need help, I need assistance. And all I got is this static. But I thought, well, I'm going to tell. I was so sure there was no one there that I didn't even tell him what I wanted. I did a radio check. I'm like, there's no one there. So I said, Gary Tower, radio check. Immediately, Gary Tower, what do you want? I like that. I thought I was alone. But God is always there. He's always tuned in to the God frequency. You've got Wi-Fi built into your heart that's on 24 hours a day. And if we're not hearing from God, you got earwax. That was it. So I love the message today. We're going to talk about, I don't know the title. I think it's, let me look for the title here. Developing and Maintaining God-Honoring Relationships. So it's about friendships, but it's all about our God relationships, starting with our relationship with God. So Pam, why don't you kick us off?
All of our relationships should honor God. They should be pleasing to God. If you're involved in a relationship that isn't honoring to God, get out now. Get out now, no matter how you feel. Today we're going to talk about, it is very practical, and I'm going to read our text, which is Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in your law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We keep talking about, you know, all the laws, the Levitical laws, and then God narrowed it down to 10 laws. Something I read really hit me a while back that says in the United States we have 177,000 laws on the law books, and the reason someone said we have to have that is because we can't keep the 10 that God sent us and wrote on stone. But I want to revise that and say the reason is we can't even keep the 2 that God gave us to love him first, make him first, and love others as ourself. And, you know, love God best, love your neighbor as yourself is easier said than done. I can... honestly, I'll just be honest with you. I can love God better than I can love you. I mean, he's God, you know. But here's the thing. People, all of us will say, I love my neighbor, but that's not what he said. He said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. We love ourselves a lot. I want to say something. The reason that people aren't obedient to God in any area, whether it's coming to church, whether it's tithing, whether it's loving your neighbor as yourself, whether it's the reason people choose drugs and substance over their families is because they don't love God and others. The reason they don't take care of elderly people is because they're selfish. They love their self more than they love God and they love others. But here's the thing. We were created for relationships. And I want to say something that you, I pray that you'll never forget. If you got a pen in your hand, you should write it down. Any God-honoring relationship in your life, any relationship, period, will always require sacrifice on your part. So don't think that you're going to be in a relationship and you're never going to have to give something. If you do, it's unbalanced. It's not really a relationship. And I was quoting back to Ken something he said to me years ago, and I've said it many times when people have rejected or abandoned or been disloyal. I said to my brother, I said, that person was my best friend for almost all of my life. And he said, no, she wasn't. You weren't best friends. You were the friend. She was not a friend. You just didn't get the memo. We love requires a sacrifice. Love requires loyalty. We're going to talk about some of those things today. I no doubt many of you have been in relationships where you found out someone that said they loved you didn't really love you, or someone that said they were loyal were not loyal. I keep learning that lesson quite a bit. But I don't want to be that person. You know, that's going to happen to you multiple times in your life. You're going to find out that people are disloyal. I found out just recently. But guess what? I don't want to be disloyal. I want to be loyal to God, and because God's loyal to me. And I want to be loyal to others and hopefully hold them to a higher standard. But I know, Pastor Ken, that all of our relationships, every single one of them, are going to be tested in our families, especially in our homes, in our churches, in our coworkers at work, with strangers. How we deal with strangers counts. But I think the most important relationships in our life, the first is God, but the second is to love one another in the church, to love God's people. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. So what that tells me is we're better together. We're better together.
And that is such a lie of the enemy that, well, I'm just going to go it alone. I don't need anybody. I'm just going to be my own person. You weren't designed. Two are better than one. The Bible talks about it in Ecclesiastes, and that's true for marriage. It's true for friendship. It's true for doing work. It says if either of them falls down, one can help the other up, physically or spiritually. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them, which was the man at the pool. He says, I have no man to help me. But when there's no one, there's always Jesus, right? When that's true, when there is no one to help, there's always Jesus. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? They may be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. A cord of three is not easily broken. So if you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so you got the Father and the Son, you're doing good. But a lot of people don't want the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Now you're really happening. We need one another. We need one another in church. We need husbands and wives need one another as a covering. I bet hardly anyone here sleeps in bed without covers. You know, even if it's, you always like to have a cover over you. God has set a covering over us. This church is a covering. Having people that you trust to speak into your life, elderly people that have godly wisdom, that's a covering. I've personally known several ministers, several pastors that have lost their spouses, and immediately, almost immediately, they quit serving God. And it didn't matter if it was a husband or a wife that was lost. Even husbands, you'd say, is a wife a covering? Absolutely. A wife is a covering because you're responsible. You're accountable to your wife. That's the thing about children. When they go away to college or they move away, they've lose their covering of their family. And so sometimes they go wild because they don't have a foundation. And the same thing, you could have a solid marriage and one of the couple, you know, let's say that I've got to be sent to whatever, it doesn't matter. I've got to be sent to North Korea or South Korea or Japan, or it doesn't matter. If my job takes me somewhere and I'm away from my family, I'm away from my covering. That's why it's important that you know who you are. Because you might find yourself in another country, you're 1,000 miles away from anyone that you know, and you're with a group of people that are ungodly, now's your chance. You can be anyone you want to be. You can join in with the ungodly, you can tell their jokes, you can laugh at their things, you can be as crude, as rude, as lewd as you want to be, because you've lost your covering. Or you can say, I know who I am. It doesn't matter where I am. Because here's the truth. If you climb Mount Everest, God is there. If you're in a submarine that's sunk to the bottom of the ocean, talk to Jonah. God is at the bottom of the ocean. There's nowhere you can go to escape that. So we are a help to one another. It is easier to work one for another. Your friends should inspire you to serve God. Your friends will do one of two things. They will draw you closer to God or draw you further from God. You can't be steady. You're either moving towards God or away from God all the time. And you've got to make that decision. A drowning person will do what for you? If there's a drowning man in the water, if Gio was drowning and he was yelling for help, my inclination would be to jump in the water and swim over to him. But he could end up pulling us both down, right? I'm not sure I'm a strong enough swimmer. But what if when I hear him screaming, I grab a life preserver and I swim that out to him? Now me and him both got a chance because I'm giving him something to hold on to. It's a life preserver. That's Jesus. When Paul and his group was shipwrecked and the boat fell apart, they clung onto the wooden planks, wood on the ship. The cross is made of wood, and we should be hanging on to the cross. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of God. Your relationships are all going to be tested. Your relationship with God, do you love him first? Do you actually love him, or do you know who you are? Are we just actors? Are we sinners pretending to be Christians, or are we Christians pretending to be sinners? It's knowing who we are. Knowing who we are in front of our spouse, in front of our family. You can't act different. You can't be Jekyll and Hyde. We have to be the same at work. We have to be the same in Mexico. We have to be the same in church. As if you were walking around with Jesus. You know, there's that saying, dance like no one's watching. Well, I don't know about that because I'm not going to dance like anyone's watching. But pray like no one's watching. Praise like no one's watching. Read your Bible like no one is watching. Sing like no one is watching. Or maybe do the opposite. Live your life like everyone is watching. Live your life like God is watching all of the time. I loved Billy Graham. I thought he was just so amazing. I love that he didn't involve himself with hate speech. They tried to drag him into that all the time. Billy Graham, why don't you condemn these five groups? Just come on out and tell everyone how much God hates them. He wouldn't do it. He would say, just as I am. Come to God just as you are. So if you were walking with Billy Graham, how would you talk? Wouldn't you, if you knew that Billy Graham, if you were walking with Billy Graham, would you say, hey, I heard a dirty joke? Nope. How would your language be? I bet you would say, praise God. I bet you would say, Billy, tell me about God. So we should live our life as if we're walking with Jesus, because we are. As if the Holy Spirit was there all of the time, because he is. Otherwise, we'll be like Samson, someone that was anointed of God, but he was so crude and rude and lewd that the Holy Spirit's like, I got to get out of here. I can't walk with this person. But fortunately, he found his way back to God.
You know, I keep thinking about what you said about covering, that we should always be one another's covering. You know, if Frida and I go somewhere together and someone comes along or someone says something or, you know, why don't you do this or that, we've got to be cover one another and say, we're not up for that. We're not going to do that. It reminded me of the story that Pastor Bill told us about even a group of ministers that went to an Asian country together. And Pastor Bill was there. That's their first mistake. And he is a man of God, and he's a covering. And thank God for a covering, because I've heard this. If I can't correct you, I can't lead you. If I can't correct you, I can't lead you. And so he was with this group of ministers, and he got wind of that the older ministers too, seasoned ministers, and he got wind that some of the ministers were hiring these geisha girls, 12, 13 years old, for massages and to come to their hotel rooms. And here's Pastor Bill, man of God, at the door of one of these ministers, hotel room door. He comes to the door in a towel. Nothing's wrong. It's okay. It's legal here. Pastor Bill said, get out. Get out. That night, all of those ministers got to minister, and they excluded Pastor Bill. They excluded him from ministry. And when it got time for the prayer line, the host minister, not knowing this, guess who he called up to minister to the people? Pastor Bill. And the lines were filled. Filled. He was their covering. Now, some of those guys could have gotten a lot more trouble than they did had Bill not been there, Pastor Bill, my brother-in-law, not been there and said, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to stand up. When you can't stand, I'm going to stand up. And we do need that in our lives so much. I noticed something very interesting, and inadvertently I've been covering for people. I can remember being at a restaurant. And, you know, I am certainly not against anybody having a glass of wine at all. I am not here to preach that at all, at all, at all. But I do notice that people that would ordinarily have a drink or something, they don't when I'm with them because they, and I'm just kind of making a joke of it, but because they know my standard. You know, that's what we do for one another. And again, I'm not saying it's wrong. Feel free to have a glass of wine. I'm not saying I don't need it. I just don't. That's my standard. But, we are covering for one another, and I'm thankful for the people that have covered me. I am thankful for people who have said, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure? Because here's the thing about relationships, Pastor Ken. I think that there are some keys to having successful God-honoring relationships, and one of them is living with integrity, living connected to God and living with integrity. Our character is important. Sandra actually bought me a book recently. She bought a whole bunch of books for me for Mother's Day, and one of them is a powerful book that says Character Counts. And it just gave example after example. And in order to be a good friend, we have to live with integrity because relationships are hard, and I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And the enemy, his job is to divide and conquer, isn't it? And eventually he wants to destroy us. He wants to divide marriages. He wants to divide households. He wants to divide friendships. But so when you choose to love and you choose to be into a relationship, that relationship is going to be tested because there's going to come a time when that person, whether they're your spouse or your friend, they do something unintentionally or intentionally to hurt you in some kind of way, And then you have a choice to make. Number one, you learn a lesson from that. I don't want to do this to anybody else because it hurt me, right? I don't want to betray nobody because their betrayal of me is hurting me right now. And so I don't want to be that person. The second thing, it gives you an opportunity to forgive. And sometimes people won't forgive for this reason. Let me tell you why they won't forgive. They won't forgive because they think that's just me letting them off the hook. That's just me saying it's okay what they did to me when it's not. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is you releasing them back to God for him to exact judgment or offer mercy. It's you not being the judge and jury. You must forgive. And it's not what they did to you. It's what Jesus did for you that really counts. Jesus died on the cross to forgive you. It cost him more than it will ever cost us to forgive somebody. And if we don't forgive, the Bible says we can't expect our own sins to be forgiven. Have you ever heard that? That's kind of scary, isn't it? If I don't forgive you, I can't expect my own sins to be forgiven. It's in the Bible. It's not what I said. And here's the thing. If I don't forgive, and I want forgiveness, right? Let me read to you Matthew 7:5. Why, you hypocrite, you hypercritical person, first take the large beam, the board, out of your own eye. This is where we put our own name. And then you will be able to see clearly enough to take the little tiny speck out of your brother's eye. I got a board in my eye, you got a speck in your eye, and I am judging you? No, it doesn't work that way. Whenever possible, offer mercy. Even if, watch this, forgive the person and offer mercy even if you cannot restore a relationship. And there are absolutely times when it would not, listen to me carefully, it would not be God's will for you to restore that relationship, because it would join you to the unfruitful works of darkness and it would cause you to be pulled down. There are times when you are in a bad relationship and it should not be restored, or someone wants to harm you, you still can forgive that person. And I want to say something, and I hope it's on the screen. Eventually it will be up there. At some point, a relationship is a kingdom investment. Never forget that. A relationship is a kingdom investment, and a godly relationship does not happen by accident. It takes work, effort, forgiveness, and there are four pillars that hold up a relationship, and I'm going to list them for you. Love, integrity, trust, and compassion. Jesus had compassion for us.
So I wanted to just step on some toes here, so you all just forgive me, but sometimes as a pastor, there's things we have to say, and sometimes there's things we have to say that are tough. But I want to say this completely in love, but it's completely true. Any sexual relationship outside your marriage is going to ruin your relationship with God. God has called you to be sexually pure. You are not an exception. You will never be an exception. If Miss America comes up to you, it is a trap. It is flattery. It is, if you know it's a trap, you have to stay away from it. How strong can I say this? I could cry and beg you to stay out. I could yell and scream and jump up and stand on the pews and say, stay out, or I can just say it. But there's no way to get around it. Church, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to every single person here. That will wreck and ruin. It could even ruin your ability to get into heaven. You get out of that relationship, and you do it now. It is sin. It is wrong. The Bible backs me up. Paul backs me up. Jesus backs me up. Be pure in your relationships.
Amen. That is the truth. That is the uncomfortable truth that we need to hear. That's your pastor covering you. That's someone who cares enough. It's not a popular message. You know, my nephew and I were talking just last night about things that are no longer really taught in church, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, hell, like, for example, hell. Pastors don't want to talk about hell because people don't want to hear about hell, and that's not what brings in funds or people. But let me tell you, how much do you have to hate somebody to not talk about hell, to not talk about things like sexual holiness and sexual purity? How much do you have to hate somebody to not talk about sin in our lives? And to not offer them Jesus, quite a bit, I would say. But I know this is practical stuff that we're sharing today, but we need to hear it. We need to hear it before it's too late, not when it's too late. And I want to say something else. If you've been betrayed, maybe you've been betrayed in a marriage, a relationship, or something, this does not give you the right to go out and do the same thing or betray someone else. This does not give you a reason either to not trust other people and punish somebody else for what your ex did to you. Come on now. You know, if someone took money from you, that doesn't mean the next person cannot be trusted. That doesn't mean you treat people accordingly and become bitter. Because if someone's hurt you or falsely accused you, and by the way, you don't need to defend yourself either. You need to let God do that. I can't tell you how many times people have said, why didn't you speak up? Why didn't you tell them what really happened? I said, I am not my own defense attorney. I am not qualified, and I am not going to be my own defense attorney, because I have a very good defense attorney, and his name is Jesus Christ, my advocate. So we need to understand these things, and every time someone hurts you, I want you to do something for me that will make it easier for you to forgive them. Every time that someone hurts you, I want you to think of a time when you hurt someone else and when you were the one in need for forgiveness and Jesus or someone else forgave you too. So we need to remember those things at the time we're hurting. And I've always said this, and I will stand by this, because we're all going to be hurt. The secret to forgiving people is not to forgive them in the heat of the battle. The secret to forgiving people is to forgive them before they ever transgress you, before they ever cause you harm or hurt you. Because if you wait until the time of the incident, you are going to be emotionally all over the place, crushed, and you're going to want revenge. But I'm going to read a verse about, because now we're transitioning a little bit into relationships that we should not have. You should not be involved, Pastor Ken mentioned, in ungodly sexual relationship. You should not be, and this, by the way, includes, let me say this, online relationships, seducing relationships, talking to people online. Jenny Weaver talks, I was telling my mother yesterday, Jenny Weaver is one of the first and foremost in this nation on the subject of deliverance, and believe me, she has openly shared things about witchcraft in our that are just so deadly. I'll give you one quick example in my life. One thing that I was convicted of. I'm interested in crime podcasts, in how, you know, why did these people do what they do? What caused this? How to avoid this? And you know what she was talking about? That's not where your mind should be. That's even though there's outcomes, and it convicted me. There's so many things, and this was other things that people have. But there are relationships we should not have, and I'm going to read two verses to you. Romans 16:17. Now I beg you, brothers, mark them who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, avoid them. It doesn't mean restore them, hang out with them, have them over to dinner, sit them at your table. It says, make a note of it, mark them, and avoid these people. You're to let God deal with them and pray for them. Titus 3:10, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first warning, give a second warning, and after that have everything to do with them, have nothing to do with them. So people have asked me from time to time, why don't you go to this person? Why don't you try to make this right, fix this? If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and a second warning, and after that, have no more to do with them because they are unrepentant and they are out to harm and divide people, and you don't need to be a part of that. Jesus offers reconciliation to him first, and then people need repentance who are sincere, and we should give it.
I want to talk about the words that we speak and how important they are. How embarrassed or shocked would you be, or would I be, or any of us, if your internet, all your internet history for the last 2 weeks was on public display? And what if you got to heaven and they said, look, we're in a rush, we don't have time to go over your whole life. Yep. God says, all we need is the last 2 weeks of your internet, and then we'll make a decision on whether or not you're a Christian based on that. So the Bible says judge yourself, right? I'm not judging. Judge yourself. You know, with the last 2 weeks, would you say, oh, I'm proud. God would look at. So, good. So I'm going to talk about it a little more. But Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. It says do not let it. It doesn't just come out. You've got to speak it. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit them. So the Bible does tell us that the tongue is like, it's a rudder. It's the rudder of our life. It steers the direction of our life. It's certainly living water flows through us. And if it's living water, we're going to be refreshed all of the time. Job said something, and I think this is amazing. Listen to this. This is from Job 6:30. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Oh, this is so good. Listen to this. Yep. Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Job is saying, cannot my taste discern? Job is saying, in order to speak, you have to use your tongue, and your tongue is what you taste with. And when you taste bad things, you spit it out of your mouth. And if I could be really crude here, if you were walking in a farmer's field and there was cow dung everywhere, would you pick it up and put it in your mouth? No! You would be disgusted at even hearing that. And Job is saying, if you wouldn't put it in your mouth, why would you let it come out of your mouth? Isn't that good? That the tongue tastes. And the Bible says, taste and see. Yeah. That the words that come out of our mouth should be like honey, right? It should be like the honeycomb. It should be pleasant. So we're speaking out of our heart. I have this guy that I was trying to help with some legal issues, and every person I sent him to, he said, I hate that person. I sent him to 4 different people, and one person, they had to call the cops, another person, and he's like, I hate that person, I hate that person. And I began to realize the problem is with you, you know, because I was sending him to the best people that I knew, the most experienced people, but they were so critical that they didn't realize that. So this next thing, because I know we're running a little bit out of time, but I want to talk about this. I want to talk to you about how your computers work, because not a lot of people know this, and it's not on the screen. Your computer, your internet, is designed with algorithms to mold itself around your heart.
Yes.
So,
Amen.
I want to show you how you can be deceived without even realizing it. You're thinking that you're getting information from the internet, but what it's doing, it's feeding you what you've asked for.
Right.
So let's say that you go home tonight and you start searching the internet for articles on Bigfoot. Complete ridiculous, the Loch Ness Monster, aliens building the pyramids, voices from hell. You dive down into conspiracy theories about the Illuminati. Before you know, it doesn't matter. Any example, let's say you decide that the problem in this country is the Jews, which is, of course, insane. It's hate. But let's say you decide the problem is the Jews. So you begin to search for Jewish problems. Before you know it, your computer is going to conform to you, and you're going to have all these articles about how the Jews are taking over. You're going to have all these articles about how Bigfoot is being hidden. You're going to have all these articles about aliens among us, or whatever it is you want to dive into, whether it's politics or whether it's conspiracy theories, and it's going to feed you. And you're going to it's going to double enforce that hatred. And that's why all these supremacist groups that are rising up, they are feeding it. They're getting articles about it. And they're like, doesn't everybody see this? Because my computer is filled with this. If I go on YouTube today, it's recommending. This is my life. I'll just be honest. You would first see about 4, it would recommend hockey videos because I'm into hockey. It knows that. My computer knows I like hockey. So it's recommending. It's also all these cooking channels about how to cook steak. My computer knows what I like. There's all this worship stuff. There's all this music stuff. It's recommending music channels to me. It's not that. It's the opposite. It's conforming to me. I'm not conforming to it. So what you are feeding on is what is going in to your life. So keep your gutters clean. Keep your pipes clean. Keep your mind clean. Keep your mouth clean. And I bet everyone here brushed your mouth today, brushed your teeth today with your toothbrush because you wanted to keep your mouth clean. So we've got to continue. And that's, although it's practical, it is so spiritual, too. You are prophesying over your life all the things that we're saying.
It's so true that, you know, there's a saying, and some of you probably heard it, taste your words before you spit them out. That's really true. In other words, kind of think about that and use them on yourself first. You know, I love talking about the algorithms because that is so, so true. On my computer, every time I type the word go, it types God. Because that's the word I type most. If I type K-E, it types Ken. Isn't that interesting? Because I do the message every week and I, Ken. And it's interesting. But I'll tell you how seducing it is. And the shopping illustration is one of the best. If I go to Burr Ridge, I can literally have my phone in my hand and all of a sudden I start getting coupons from Bath & Body, Victoria's Secret, Eddie Bauer, all the stores that are right along that way. And you think, oh, how awesome. They know where I'm at. They're tracking me. And they're trying to seduce me to come into their store and give them my money is what they're trying to do. And we can be without even realize it. You know, when you fall in a pit and get in a trap, it's called a trap for a reason. It was meant to do that to you. But, you know, talking about friends, we need to be covering for our friends. We need to be faithful to our friends. We need to be a friend that won't abandon. And we need to be a friend that won't betray. I want to pray, but there are friends who are going to betray you, and I understand that. And you may have had a Judas in your life. And you may know it because Jesus knew it, right? You may know that there's a Judas in your life. Don't be the Judas, because remember the disciples were saying, who is it? Is it one of us? Is it one of us? But here's the thing. Sometimes when that happens and there's somebody that hurts us or betrays us like a Judas, we start looking at everybody else's. They're a Judas too. How about the other 11 that weren't Judas, that were faithful disciples? Do you know that you've got some good friends? You've got some people who love you, who've got your back. They're your ride or die. And there's nothing they wouldn't do for you. They love you that much. So don't base your opinion of good, godly people on others that have done you wrong. And don't let anyone allow you to become bitter. And if someone leaves your life, you know, I have to use this verse all the time over people in the church because you know they're leaving before they leave. And it's 1 John 2:19, and it says, they went out from among us. They weren't really of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown they were not of all of us. Everybody's not going to stick with you, but there's a lot who are going to stick with you. And we should be so thankful for the people that God has put in our lives. That's why we're talking about this today.
Life is short, and we're running the race. We're almost there. I want to encourage you to make the last few miles of your life, make it count. You know, all that God cares about is that when you cross the finishing line, Jesus is on your lips. Amen. That on the last day of your life, that, boy, it hit my heart when Dad was on his last day because they had these monitors that was monitoring every part of his blood pressure, his whatever those monitors monitor, heart rate, whatever, you know, whatever, oxygen. But the thing that struck me is I looked up at that monitor, and you know what it said? I knew he was dying. I knew it said Kenneth Bonner right there on the screen. And that hit me because that's my name. And the Holy Spirit was saying to me, every person will have a day. And with Dad, he was completely unconscious. If he hadn't been right with God the day before, he wouldn't have been right with God then. You've got to prepare for tomorrow. We are so blessed to have God in our life. We're faithful to him. We love him. You know, when you talking about friendship, I am a friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. When you have friends, including your friendship with God, don't pray like this. God, here's all my problems. God, here's all my problems. Okay, I'm done, God. God, you know, here's the 12 things. I'm done, God. Tell God how amazing he is. Don't forget to worship God. It's okay to do what we were talking about. Pam was saying, you're honest with God. This is what's breaking my heart. This is what I need. But God's a friend too. God, I've got so many things weighing me down. But before we even get into that, there's something I need to tell you. You are high and lifted up. You are amazing. There's no God like you. There's no friend like you. There's no person that cares about me like you care. Worship God. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God even for the problems that he's going to answer them. And the same with our friends. As iron sharpens iron. Sharpen your friends. Talk about the word. Encourage one another. It's okay to once in a while share your problems with people, but don't just vomit on people. Sharpen people. Encourage people. Give them the word. We're praying for you. I know that everyone's going through difficult times, but I believe that God is bigger than your problem. I believe that God, and that relationship with God is everything. Get that right, and everything else will fall into line.
Let's stand. Let's pray. We need to pray. We've stepped all over toes today. We've done our job, Lord. It's not always easy. Lord, we just come before you, and we're so thankful for your word, Father God, the truth of your word. Father God, we can receive truth. We can receive correction, Father God. We don't want our relationship with you, first of all, to be a second-choice relationship. We want you to be first, Lord, in everything we do. We want to have God-honoring relationships, Lord. We don't even want to just dump on you, Father God. We want to tell you how good you are, how kind you've been to us. And yes, I acknowledge how many times you push things back that we don't even know of. You push cars back. You push people back. You move things in our favor, Father, and we're such a grateful and thankful people. Father God, we're still standing here today, and there's a possibility that all of us would have been wiped out except for the grace of God and the mercy of God. It's the truth, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful, faithful friendships I have in life, Father God. I am so blessed. I am so blessed, Father God, to have you and to have your people. Father, we ask that you would help us. Father, if there's anything in our life, Father, that is not pleasing to you, the relationships we talked about today, ungodly relationships, ungodly communication, Father God, things that maybe they seem good to some people, but they're certainly not God. They're wasting our time. Father God, we want our time to be surrendered to you and our bodies and everything, Lord. We want to be a living sacrifice, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for this day, Father. Help us be exactly who we say we are. In Jesus' name, we honor you. Go in peace.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.